Hello and delighted to have your company as we always are on the Two Tones. It's episode 13 of this Carlton Football Club themed podcast. Your host, the Beast, Tony DeBolfo, and myself, Tony Moclair. Beast, how are you?
Good to see you, Tony. How's things?
Great. Always great to see you. And there's a lot to talk about, as there always is. We play Port Adelaide this week. The team's been announced. We'll get to that in a second. But I guess the big things we have to cover off at the very top this week, Daisy has been cut. Not from the team, but Daisy is out for the year. So it sparked something of a conversation off air as to whether or not that signals that this truly is 2015, the annus horribilis of the Carlton Football Club.
Look, Tony, you'd have to at least compare it with 2002, the aftermath of the salary cap debacle. It's certainly been a terrible year, and perhaps the die was cast in the opening minute of the Richmond game, round one, when Dale Thomas went over with that horrible shoulder injury, which obviously he never really overcame and is now going to be sidelined for the rest of the season because of it.
He was a gutted man. He gave an interview to Nova 100 and basically said that he's played most of the year with the shoulder popping in and out, basically, like a next door neighbour looking for a cup of sugar. But he was playing in great pain, great discomfort. It was, it was bugging him when he wasn't playing. So he's clearly done the right thing. We say that, though, against obviously the fact that he's costing the club 700 grand a year and we haven't had a great return on that this year.
Very true. And look, you often wonder with players, hindsight's a wonderful thing. We know now what he's been labouring with. But you do ask the question, look, if the injury's that bad, why play at all? Get it fixed and get it out of the road and done and dusted then. However, players are brave. They play on with all manner of ailment and injury. It hasn't worked out for him, unfortunately. And one can only hope now that he has time to get his body right, because top to toe, really, he's struggled. I think he's been hobbling around in a moon boot as well. So I'm suggesting he kicked a cat, a black one, Tony, because really that's the way it's gone for him this year and indeed for the football club, with so many things happening not the way we would have hoped they'd gone to script.
There are 700,000 soft pillows cushioning that blow, though. There is also his link with Mick, and there's, people, would bring that up. However, we were talking, have we bottomed out? You said that was an omen, that portended ill for the year as soon as that happened. I would say, though, it's not as bad as 2002, because we were certainly kicked when we were down then. That was, as low as we were ever going to go. The term green shoots wasn't used in 2002, but you're hearing a lot of it at the moment. There are concrete steps being made to rectify a bad situation. There's Party of Five, the committee of eminent persons who are looking to get a new coach. Although that said, JB's done a magnificent job over 2 weeks.
He has indeed, Tony. And look, reflecting back on, that ugly period of 2002, just to give you an idea of how bad it actually was, I can remember Heath Scotland telling me the story that after the debacle that was the salary cap breaches and we'll live in infamy. He can recall turning up to training and being asked by the club to bring a football with him, because the club at that time couldn't afford to supply footballs to the team.
That is crazy.
So that gives you an idea of how desperate the plight of the Carlton Football Club actually was then. I don't think we're in that situation now. And, you mentioned the green shoots. Chris Judd, that was his parting comment, wasn't it, at the press conference? And it's magnificent description I think he's given of, where the club right now is actually at. We're starting to see green shoots emerge. And I might have said previously, Tony, that I think the team actually bottomed out against Sydney.
Yeah.
I think bottomed out the week before the Sydney game. I know we were belted by 10 goals, whatever it was. But I think there were signs that, that the team was on the way back. It's going to be a long haul, a journey. However, I think there was a little bit out of that game, from which Carlton supporters could actually clutch. And we've probably seen that, continue. And we're seeing, new faces get more game time.
Yeah.
And they're the future of the Cup Football Club, after all.
Well, Juddy, I think, was he may have mentioned, but certainly one of the green shoots he'd looked to is Cripper, Patrick Cripps, who's been magnificent on field in terms of leadership. Some of the other green shoots we're talking about, as I mentioned, the Party of Five, the Committee of Eminent Persons, the Council of Elders, that has been assembled to pick the next coach. Now, Tone, being the historian that you are, you picked something remarkable about the people on the committee. Can you tell us, firstly, who they are, and B, what that almost common denominator was?
Yes, well, we'll begin with the CEO, Stephen Trigg. He's a member of the selection panel, obviously. We also have Chris Judd, as you mentioned. We have Ange Postecoglou, coach of the Australian National Soccer/Football team. We also have David Campbell, I think, who was fairly heavily involved with the recruitment.
Yep.
And we also have Ken Sheldon, three-time premiership player for the Carlton Football Club. And, you know, we're talking off here. What's interesting about the men involved here is that it's the number, the common thread being the number. Chris Judd, of course, the number five. We have Andy McKay, who's the football operations at number five. We have Sid Jackson, who's involved with the Indigenous program here at the club, number five. Johnny Barker wore five at Fitzroy. And Stephen Trigg, I'm reliably informed by Luca Ganani, our producer, that he wore 5+2 at Central District.
That'll do. There you go. It's an omen. So, I don't know, in 5 years we'll be winning a premiership. That's the way I take
hopefully
that.
Sooner, Tony.
Yeah, hopefully. If there's a great shot of Ken Sheldon on the website that was a really stirring shot. It was taken at Princess Park, I'm assuming, because the crowd were virtually on the field. And he's mid-flight. It's magnificent. He has a look of determination, and the CFC monogram is muddied because he's just been rolling in the ball, getting the hard ball, and just rolling in the mud, I should say. And it's just a magnificent photograph.
What a great player he was in a golden era for the Carlton Football Club. You know, part of the Mosquito fleet. We probably don't
and
need
the Premiership quarters and all that sort
all
of stuff.
That, oh, all
yes,
of that.
Happy
all
days.
That. There was a good story about the Mosquito fleet. I digress for a moment, Tony, but Rod Ashman told me this story that there was actually what the Mosquito fleet dubbed the third wingman through the 1970s and 1980s. And the third wingman was one of the Mosquito fleet who, if they were up the ground and saw that Bruce Doole had gathered the ball off the halfback flank, the quickest of the Mosquito fleet would know that they would make a beeline for the wing to be the third winger because they knew that Doole would hit them lace out.
Yeah.
And all those members of the Mosquito fleet, they had this club, the third wingman, and they would try to beat each other to the wing because they knew as soon as Doole got it that there was a cheap position for them. They'd be hit lace out on the chest by the great man. So,
and out of interest, who was the quickest of the Mosquito fleet?
Oh, that's
generally
a very good question. I'd say probably off the first 10, you'd say Marcou.
Yeah.
I'd say Alex Marcou, but you know, it's probably a line ball. They were all fleet of foot, weren't they?
Oh, they'd all tell you they were if they were in the room right now. There's no doubt about that. So do you know anything of the terms of reference that have been promulgated for the Party of Five? What's their official title?
I don't know what the terms of reference are, Tony. And I did pose the question off air that, you know, was there a panel to select the coaching panel? This is a question, you know, I put to the public at large. Look, I'm sure that they'll conduct due diligence. They have to. The world is watching, Tony. Mm. And so I dare say that there'll be an exhaustive process with a number of candidates will be, you know, interviewed, I suspect, not the least of which is John Barker himself.
Yep.
So I suspect that there's going to be, you know, no stone unturned in getting the decision right. And they have to get it right. Let's be truthful about it. They have to get it right because the decision made here is a decision that I think has implications for not only next year but for many years beyond, because I think whoever becomes the next coach of the Carlton Football Club will not only be coach but also a developer, a teacher of the team. And we need someone that will be with this group of players for the long haul to take Carlton to a position where they can rightfully compete for a premiership.
So what does that reflect in the club, that the club is not, say, going for the celebrity coach, if you like a Pagan or a Malthouse, that this is an open and exhaustive process?
I think that's a fair comment to make, and certainly there's no quick fix. You know, they I think the psyche now is that there's no easy or quick way to this, that it's got to be done with the right degree of deliberation and forethought. Stephen Trigg said earlier in the year, very early in the piece, that, you know, everyone at the club has to keep their nerve. Mm. So I just think that this is a journey. You know, this now is a journey that we're all embarking upon. And that's fine if you can see, you know, hope. Hope is the biggest thing. And I think, as I said to you, since the Sydney game, I think we're starting to see the green shoots. You know, Chris Judd probably put it most succinctly when he said that, and that gives you cause to go to the football, because
yes,
the green shoots are what we're all clamouring for.
Yeah, to be able to say I was there when, you know, when you saw an emerging talent,
and very true,
you know, wearing the old dark navy blue. Now we should preview the upcoming game against Port Adelaide, and stating the obvious too. Say that, I mean, we're just looking forward to more of that Adelaide form, the form that Carlton displayed against Adelaide, which was, competitive. It was hard at the ball. It was presenting. There was, you know, it was a great game, obviously, from Matty Cruz. It was due to his first game back. We want to see more of Matty doing what he does.
Well, that's very true. And I think if you reflect on that game, I think what cost us were just basically skill errors. You know, there were terrible turnovers that cost goals, and there was a couple of shots on goal that didn't find their mark. I think what really stood out for me was the potency of that forward half, where you had Levi Casbolt, Matty Cruiser presenting himself. You had Lockie Henderson probably returning his best game for the year.
Yeah.
And Andreas Everett as the floating forward.
Yeah.
And suddenly the forward line had some real potency to it. And that was really good to see. You know, the ball got in there. To know that we're half a chance here of getting it through, you know, I think that was most heartening. And, as you said, Tony, I think this week we want to see further progression. You know, I think what we're seeing, though, is the players, to a man, playing with a bit more freedom and with a more of a preparedness to take the game on. And I think if we do that, we make our own luck, then by rights, it should translate into, more goals.
Bryce Gibbs is back.
And, I mean, it's been a fair layoff. You know, it'd be interesting to see how well he moves, because I think another one of the real positives from last week was how freely Mark Murphy moved.
Oh, he was magnificent.
And I do recall asking him after the game, or mentioning to him how well he appeared to move, to which he replied, well, I'm over the calf injury. So, you know, who knows how long he'd been labouring with that for. But Gibbs, you know, if he has got his freedom back and his mobility, well, suddenly he's a massive in for the Carlton Football Club, as is Chris Yaron, who, you know, he's done his penance. He's come back through the Northern Blues, and hopefully he slots in again off a half-back flank and really becomes an important rebounder for the team.
Handed his Northern Blues jumper to Jammo on the way in.
Yes, Tony, it is good to see Jammo back in the fold, albeit through the Northern Blues. He's had issues with the calf all season, hasn't really had a fair crack at it. But, look, you know, you'd like to think with Jammo back in the defensive half that it's probably going to make life a little bit easier for Sam Rowe, who's probably been Herculean the way he's played.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been under siege, let's face it, you know, and he's performed admirably. So let's hope that Jammo puts in a good one and is back in the fold sooner rather than later.
Can you just talk about the logic of, say, Jammo not getting straight back into the seniors? What would the logic be there? Does that mean we've got Port Adelaide's forward line covered?
Well, maybe they feel that there isn't a suitable matchup for him going into the Port Adelaide game. I think,
or is it just to get match fitness?
Well,
him
could
after
be that,
the long layoff.
Could be that also. I mean, it's been a long time sidelined, and perhaps they feel he needs, you know, a full go at it at VFL level. So, I think with Jammo, the most important thing this week is that he gets through. You know, if he gets through unscathed and he performs well, he moves freely well, who knows, he might be available for the Gold Coast match the week after. But let's just hope that he manages to overcome or get through the game unscathed this weekend.
And we just want supporters to get on down there, because if you didn't see the Adelaide game, you missed a great game.
Yes. And, you know, it was so sad that there weren't more Carlton supporters to bid farewell to the great man, Chris Judd. It's hard to imagine life at Carlton without Chris Judd now, but that's the reality we all face. And time waits for no man, Tony. We all move on. And it'll be very interesting to see how the Carlton players find a way without the great man's presence.
That will definitely be the most intriguing thing of the contest, I think. And look, hopefully holes will be filled, and cometh the hour, cometh the man. Somebody will step up.
Well, we hope so, you know. And I mean, that's a real challenge now, isn't it, for the players to a man. You know, we want them all presenting. And it's a great opportunity for players, as we go into the second half of the season, to really, you know, make an impact. You know, as I said earlier, the world is watching, you know, and there's a lot for these players to play for, and they have to play well, you know, and really make an impression as we, you know, we're into the run home now, and let's hope they can make a solid, you know, statement on the season that remains.
Make a stand and be like the American soldiers planting the flag on the summit of Mount Suribachi after a life and death struggle on the sands of Iwo Jima.
Is that one with the statue, the five of them pushing up flag?
Quite a stirring moment.
Indelible memory.
It is. Tone, let's do what we do every week. Go through just quickly all the players that have played for both clubs, starting with Scott Freeborn.
Scott Freeborn was seconded to Carlton from North, wasn't he? Fairly solid on baller, no frills on baller. Good player, played a few good games for Carlton. Very serviceable footballer.
Heave!
Brent Heaver was a very good sneak for the Carlton Football Club. It actually came across with a pretty healthy reputation from Melbourne, I might say. Mm. Lovely fellow.
Loved watching him play.
Good player.
Yeah. Barnaby French.
Barney French. Now, Barney French, a most underrated footballer, because I think he, not dissimilar to Cameron Wood, actually, in my memory of him, was a real big-hearted player, you know, that gave everything with what he had. And we talked about those grim, dark days. Mm-hmm. You know, he was the man that had to weather all of that. And good on him. I think he made a real impression on the Carlton Football Club. And he is welcome back anytime he wants.
Mark McKenzie?
You've got me on that.
Mark McKenzie. He was a rookie in 2003, never played a game for Port.
I need to go back to the vault, Toad. I'd like to see the man's face, the cut of his jib. I can't recall Mark McKenzie. Perhaps our listeners will be able to enlighten us, Toad.
Nick Stevens.
Nick Stevens came across from Port. Preston boy, obviously, formerly, but came across from Port Power and... well, he basically controlled the midfield for the greater part of five, six seasons here at the Carlton Football Club. Went away coaching, if I recall, and is actually the man that recommended Puss Graham to the Carlton Football Club.
Oh, yeah.
The question begs, Tony, with Nick Stevens. The neck injury put him out of football at the end of 2009 on medical grounds. You know, he suffered that terrible injury to his vertebra.
Yeah.
And you do wonder, had he been there through 2010, particularly 2011, that lost final to West Coast, whether the result may have been a little bit different. Because it is amazing that both Nick Stevens and Brendan Favola played their last games for Carlton against Brisbane at the Gabba in that final where I think I can recall Cameron Cloke kicking a goal early in the last quarter to put Carlton four goals up. And we still lost, found a way to lose. And it was the last hurrah for both Nick and Fev.
That was an unfolding nightmare.
It was.
It was just... Anyway, I dare say Nick Stevens has plenty of time to ponder what could have been at the moment, but let's not dwell on that. Kane Ackland, I think, is one of the few players that's kind of been snidely smacked down by the coach in a press conference. Do you remember that?
Was that so? Was that by the Carlton coach, or was that in another life at St Kilda?
No, that was by a Carlton coach.
Okay, well, look, he was he had 2 years with the club, recruited from the Saints, of course, and then had a year at Power in 2001, which I actually forgot about. Look, he, you know...
Yeah, that's kind of the way with Kane, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kane just, at many times, just wasn't able.
Thank you very much.
Greg Bentley.
Now, Greg Bentley, we spoke about Jomo earlier. Tony, I must relate this story about Greg Bentley.
Yeah.
I was speaking to Jomo on some matter, and Greg Bentley's name came up in the discussion, to which Jomo said, "Oh, you mean Fritzl?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "You know, Fritzl." I said, "No, who?" He said, "You know that fellow that was done in Austria for entrapment." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Why was Greg Bentley known as Fritzl?" And he said, "Well, at the time Greg Bentley came to Carlton, that story had blown up in Austria, and the name was sort of in the psyche, and so they, for want of a better nickname, they thought they'd give Bentley the nickname Fritzl." So most unfortunate, but that's the mind of a league footballer in the 21st century, Tony. I'm not one to judge.
It doesn't seem to have done him any favours, strangely enough.
No.
And lastly, Darren Pfeiffer.
Darren Pfeiffer, who was a South Australian originally, Carlton got him across, played 2 years here with the club, on ball player, and then went back, played some serviceable games for the club. But, you know, he was a good ordinary player, as Jack Dyer might suggest.
Couple of talking points before we go. We've got some housekeeping to get into. Tony Udolfo, Cruz, do you think he'll play more time up forward against Port Adelaide?
Well, look, I think it's horses for courses. But look, I was so heartened by the way he moved. Tony.
Thank you, George.
There's no reason to suggest that they couldn't push him up the ground if he feels right within himself to do it. I personally think that Cruiser is a ruckman that can go forward rather than the other way around.
Rested forward?
Well, no, I see him as a ruckman slash forward rather than a forward first and foremost, then ruckman.
Yep.
But it will obviously depend on circumstance and where Matty Cruiser's at in terms of his own recovery, you know. Do we ask too much of him to
that's a point.
You know, take control in the contest? But Cruz's return it comes as a fascinating time, because a lot of the talk this week has been has involved Geelong and the mobility of their two ruckmen now. Mm. What are their names? Blitzart and the fellow from St Kilda. Stanley. And how mobile those two ruckmen actually are. Well, Cruiser, I think, was that sort of a player. Almost the ruck rover.
Yeah.
That could take the centre contest.
The self-roving ruckman.
He was. He was indeed. Now, in terms of his own position in the team at the minute and his own physical well-being, I mean, that will determine where he actually plays. And, you know, will he get a run on the ball? Well, look, the way he moved last week, you could just suggest he could. But maybe they just want to ease him back into it and say, look, just find your feet and let's leave you there and see you go up forward.
I'm only asking for purely selfish reasons. It was so exhilarating to see him, you know, in the goal square marking strongly.
It was, and, you know, the crowd, you know, really responded to it, didn't they? And I did say to someone that I felt that his comeback this time around was much more inspirational than it was the previous time.
That's true.
He literally seemed to have a spring in his step, the MCG.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's been there for a long time, you know. And it just goes to show, we talked about Thomas, you know, labouring with his injury. Mm. You do wonder, you know, for how long Matty Cruiser was actually labouring with this terrible injury, you know. And
you mean in terms of psychological toll that it
takes?
But
maybe, or was he playing under sufferance? He shouldn't have played at all. Who knows? It's easy to say now. But certainly the way he moved against Adelaide, to me, suggested that he's completely overcome the injury and he's moving with a freedom that hasn't been there for the best part of 2 years.
Look, we do wish Dale Thomas all the best for a good and thorough recovery, and look forward to seeing him taking the ground round 1 2016.
Seems a long time away, doesn't it?
Well, it does,
be here quickly.
But by then, you know, you just want him to be cherry ripe and wanting to prove something and playing his best football.
Very true.
So good luck, Daisy. A couple of things before we go, Tone. The Carlton Football Club is a proud supporter of the Stephen Malter Children's Cancer Research Foundation.
Yes.
The Korean car maker who sponsors us, Hyundai.
No.
Hyundai. Help for kids.
It's easy for you to say, Toad.
Thank you. Is donating $1,000 for every goal Carlton kicks against Port Adelaide. So you can show your support through a variety of auction items available on the Carlton Football Club website, carltonfc.com.au, or by donating to volunteers in the concourse or directly via their website. Also, Tone, this will be a wonderful function, marking the 20th anniversary of the Blues' famous 1995 victory, 20 out of 22. Thank you very much. The Carlton Football Club is calling on its rank and file to once again savour the spoils of Sweet 16. Join us for the grandest of grand final celebrations when the Blues' all-conquering former players, the likes of Sticks, Sauce, Diesel and coach David Parkin, will relive their finest hour in a celebratory dinner.
We'll be kids in a candy store there, Tony, won't we?
That'll be awesome. Awesome, I can't wait. Saturday the 25th of July, 7 p.m. start, Grand Hyatt Savoy Ballroom, 123 Collins Street, Melbourne. The dress code is lounge suit, women accordingly, three-course dinner and beverages, $300 a head. And you can head to the Carlton FC website for more details.
Sounds great.
And we will be there doing the podcast.
Do we have to wear black tie as podcasters? Yes, Luke has got
right,
his head.
We will.
We have to, yes.
We are going to frock up and rock up,
will they allow dark navy blue tie? Surely.
I think they will. I think they can bend the rules of dress for us, Tone. Tony DeBolfo, thank you again.
A pleasure, Tony. Lovely to be here with you.
Good luck to the Blues against Port Adelaide. We hope to see more of those green shoots for the Blues. And we'll be back with the Two Tones next week. Thanks for your company.